Today's scripture reading comes from Mark 8th chapter, verses 22 to 26, and can be found on page 999 of your pew Bible. The healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village.
When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
When we look at this incident, this passage, we could draw a couple of conclusions about it. One of which is it is odd, just plain odd. How Jesus does this miracle, how he heals this blind man, is different than how he does anything else. And as I said, the question he asks in midway through the healing process, "Can you see anything? Do you see anything?" He never asks that anywhere else. This passage, this incident, this question is very unique, maybe even odd. In the sermon this morning, I'm going to say some things about that question and about the whole incident that hopefully will give us a better understanding of what happens here. But I do not want to attempt to explain away the unique qualities of this incident. In fact, I want us to embrace the unique qualities of this incident. Because the general point I want to make is that just as this incident, what happens between this man and Jesus, is special to that moment, to that man, to that healing, so it is true generally. An encounter with Jesus Christ, for each of us, for all of us, is a unique event. That what happens between us and Jesus, what happens between us and God, what God does in our lives is about us and God. What he does with us, he may not do with anyone else. Nor should we expect the experience of others to be the same as ours. We should not expect people to come to Jesus in the same way we did. There's a unique quality to this incident. It is different. And so it is in our experience with God, our experience with Jesus Christ. Each encounter, each life, each relationship has its own unique qualities. We ought to celebrate that, embrace it. Let's look at this passage. Let's look at what it has to say to us about encounters with Jesus Christ, encounters with God. First of all, in this passage, this man, this blind man, is brought to Jesus by his friends. That's not unique. I just want to comment on that, as I've commented before. We are capable of bringing people to Jesus. And likewise, we can sometimes get in the way of people coming to Jesus. These people of the village, presumably friends of this blind man or acquaintances of him, bring him to Jesus. That happens again and again in the Gospels. Others bring people to Jesus. Remember the paralytic who was brought by his friends and they take off part of the roof and they put him down to Jesus. Remember that incident? People bring others to Jesus. We can do that too. Just like people sometimes get in the way of people coming to Jesus. We can do that too. Unique part of this story, it says that Jesus takes the man outside the village. It sounds like Jesus separates the man from the village. That is just Jesus and the man go outside the village. Why does he do that? Let me give you one possible reason. I don't like this reason, but it's possible. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus announces three cities, three villages that will receive the special wrath of God because they have rejected Jesus, because they have been unrepentant, because Jesus has performed miracles in their midst and they have not come to any kind of faith in Jesus. Jesus says about those three cities, "Woe unto you. Your destruction will be more than it was from Sodom and Gomorrah." Bethsaida is one of those cities. Some people write that perhaps Jesus takes them outside the village and tells them not to go back to the village because this is an accursed village. And Jesus does not want anything done that would infect the blind man from this cursed village. I think that's possible. I'd rather think that Jesus takes the man outside the village because what's going to happen is between Jesus and the man. It's not about the crowd. It's not about putting on a show. It's not a display of divine power. It's between Jesus and the man, just like it's between us and Jesus. The reason I believe that's the case, that he takes him outside the village and separates him from the crowd, is because it says, this is a great little fact, it says, Jesus took him by the hand. Jesus took him by the hand. I don't remember that ever happening, but it happened in any other healing, but it happens here. Jesus takes him by the hand. Let's go. Let's leave the crowd behind. Let's just you and I be together. Isn't there an obvious blessing in that truth, in that little fact? If Jesus takes this man by the hand and leads him away, so it's just him, just Jesus and the blind man. I think we could say it happens with us too. That Jesus takes us by the hand. Jesus wants us to be away from the crowd for just a moment. You and I. Let me do something for you. You and I. I think we should embrace that truth. Just the general truth that Jesus does this gesture. He takes the man by his hand. He doesn't have the other people who brought the man do it. Hey, bring him along. Let's go outside the city gates here. Jesus takes him by the hand. I wonder if the rest of the crowd that was there picked up on that and they said, "Ooh, he wants to be alone with this man." Jesus takes him outside. And then it says, Jesus spit into his eyes. Well, there are reasons he might have done that. I want to mention one and make a point about it. In that culture, it was a common understanding, as I read it, that saliva had healing qualities. And that might be true in cultures today. Well, it might be true. Well, now that I think about it, I think, I don't know that I did it. I think Judy did it. You know, you use saliva on your kids sometimes, you know, they have something happens to them. Yeah, let me fix that for you. So it was a common understanding that saliva had a medicinal value. So it could be, and I know I'm stretching this a bit, but it could be that Jesus chooses to use as a comfort to the man something that was commonly accepted as having medicinal value. I want to make a bigger point about that. Jesus is okay with that. Jesus is okay with using the medicine of that day. His miracle obviously is not dependent on that, but he uses it. The larger point I want to make about that is that I don't think it's in keeping with Scripture or somehow being of greater faith to say, I'm not going to the doctor. God will heal me. I'm just going to trust Jesus for healing. You can do that. I mean, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying I'm not sure that's in keeping with the practice that Jesus undertook, especially in this incident. We've all read, I think, of extreme incidents of that sort of thing. When some parents don't take their children because they belong to a certain cult, they don't take their children to the doctor because they don't believe in doctors, et cetera, et cetera. God's going to heal their child, and the child dies. We know about those things. I don't think it's greater faith to say, I'm not going to the doctor. God will heal me. I think it's true. God will heal you. If it's God's will to heal you, he will. And maybe it doesn't make any difference if you go to a doctor or not, but the truth is, going to a doctor is not in opposition to a denial of faith or trusting God. God can use the doctors just like Jesus used saliva in this incident. Okay, that's a beside the point. So why did he spit into the man's eyes? Because, I think, the medicinal value, because that's what the man needed. He needed comfort. He needed assurance that Jesus was going to heal him. And he probably understands that that's what happens when someone is healed. There's saliva spread on the wound. Jesus does that. The healing begins, and he asks the man, do you see anything? I read a commentator who had a great line about this. He said, do you see anything? Well, of course he's not going to see anything because he has saliva in his eyes. The man answers that he can see people walking around like trees. There was something unique about this incident. There was something unique about this man that prompted Jesus, that compelled Jesus to ask him in the process of the healing, do you see anything? Maybe he sensed in the man's heart a troubled faith. Maybe he sensed in the man's heart that the man wasn't so sure about Jesus. After all, it wasn't the man who came to Jesus, his friends who brought him. Maybe that's it. I want to believe, though, that Jesus asked this question because the man needed the question asked. It's happening between the man, the blind man, and Jesus. And Jesus understands, I think, that this man needs this point, this assurance. He needs to know that Jesus is going to heal him. Do you see anything yet? I only see people walking like trees. Oh, by the way, what does that teach you about the man? Just sort of trivia. What does that teach you? When Jesus asks him, what do you see? And the guy says, well, I see people walking like trees, et cetera, et cetera. What's that teach you? What does that tell you about the man? Yeah, he could see. At one point in his life, he could see. That's why he recognizes people or what seem like people. Anyway, so Jesus asked him this question because I think the man needed the question asked. This healing that Jesus performs is unlike any other healing because this man is unlike any other person Jesus heals because it's him. It's this guy. This guy needs this. I need to do this for this man. That's our experience too. It should be noted that this healing, as I recall, is the only one in which there is, in fact, a kind of a two-step process. Jesus has used saliva in other miracles. Just earlier in the Gospel of Mark, he uses saliva to as part of his healing of a deaf man with a speech impediment. In another incident in the Gospel of John, he uses saliva to make mud as he heals another individual. So that part of it is not unique. But the two-stage process is. It is a process just for this man. But it is a process. Two steps. And sometimes that's how God does it. We would like God to work in our lives and get it done with one touch. But I think it is a not uncommon experience for us to have God at work in our lives. And if we listen very closely, we can sense this question. Do you see anything yet? Well, sort of. Do you see that you need to forgive your brother, your sister in the Lord? Do you see yet that you need to forgive your sister and your brother in your family? Do you see yet that you need to forgive that person at work? Do you see that yet? Well, sort of. And Jesus, God, continues the process. The key is we have to be listening for the question. We have to be listening for Jesus to ask, how you doing? If we're not listening for that question, if we're not interested in how we're doing, if we're not interested in God asking us, do you see anything yet? Then we'll never hear the question. And the fact that the question exists means that God understands we can't get there just yet. We can't do it all. I can't share Jesus Christ with my friend, my neighbor. I'm just not there yet. And we can take comfort in the fact that Jesus would say to us, do you see anything yet? Have you done anything yet? Have you taken any small step yet? It's okay if you're not there yet. But have you done anything yet? I believe that God does miracles in people's lives. I believe that there are people who are alcoholics. One day, and by the grace of God, they're not the next day. Because God has done a miraculous work. He has touched their lives, and they see everything clearly. I would think that the more common experience comes out of a process. God begins that good work in us and will bring it to completion. Perhaps as late as the day of Jesus Christ, but God begins a process. And that process, God doing that, is a common experience. What is not common is how he does it with each of us. He does it as we need it done. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus did some things that part of us just wants to explain away. But remind us, Father, that Jesus did things his way because they were his way, and because the people needed him to do whatever he did in just a very specific way for them. Thank you for the blessing, Father, that our relationship with you is our relationship with you. It doesn't have to be like anyone else's. That our relationship with you is a process and it's going on. And that's okay with you. In Jesus' name, amen.